Hello, everybody. I'm Richard C. Wilson, founder of the Family Office Club. And today we're doing a member spotlight interview with GNLT, which is a group focused on import-export of LNG, as well as green hydrogen projects. And I have with me here a board member of the group, Frank, the CEO, Zubin, and the head of business development, Nick. And if you want to start out, Frank, with kind of a one-liner of what you're up to as a team to kind of describe some of the exciting projects that you're focused on, that'd be great.
Great. Perfect. The GNLT project is located in south central Chile. It's in the country's second economic basis. And the project itself is a floating project, offshore project. It will bring LNG, liquefied natural gas, into the south central and southern Chilean energy markets, as well as into the Argentinian energy markets from a Pacific entrance point. The project had a 6-year path to being fully permitted, shovel ready. It is being avidly pursued by a number of the world's super majors, a number of the world's largest energy banks. It's a significant, if not a major, project for South America. It has a great commercial basis. What's called on the Chilean side a pocket market, and on the Argentinian side it's a high population density market, so the opportunities are great. It's a naturalistic monopoly, and at the same time, it addresses a humanitarian basis, human needs basis. South central Chile being the most air polluted region in the world, 23 out of the 25 most polluted cities in the world are actually in south central Chile. Our clean energy bridge project will be able to remediate that from the date of operations in a very short order. In 5 to 7 years, we'll have a very, very significant, probably a majority reduction of the air pollution there. On the Argentinian side, the project will prevent the fracking and despoiling of the Patagonian hinterlands. These are the most pristine areas in the world, but the unregulated drilling has caused a lot of humanitarian crisis on that side of the border. So with one importation project, we're going to be able to reduce energy costs for these populations significantly. They pay a very high price for fossil fuels. So we're bringing in a clean fuel that's highly profitable for our country, but also reduces energy costs for both the Chilean populations and the Argentinian populations. And as I had said, we're fully permitted, shovel ready. We have a large amount of attention from players throughout the world in the overall energy space, in our particular niche, the LNG niche. And I think this one addresses a lot of things: profitability, sustainability, and the concentration of a energy basis that provides us with the claim of a clean energy bridge to a green hydrogen future. A lot of the gas that we'll be bringing in will be used to create hydrogen, which will allow for the infrastructure to be developed. This new green hydrogen infrastructure that's being rapidly developed throughout the world. Chile's made a massive commitment, $50 billion to green hydrogen infrastructure. And our project will bring in the natural gas that's required to produce those volumes of hydrogen that will allow for a transition over to green hydrogen. And our succeeding projects are producers of massive volumes of green hydrogen. So we have a complete package here.
Right. Great. Zubin or Nick, do you want to add anything to that before I move on to the next question?
Well, just something very important to add to what Frank said is when we conceived of this project, the key drivers behind us getting into Chile was that this region was completely neglected from an energy point of view and from a pollution point of view. The pollution in this region has been largely driven by the lack of energy. And the predecessors to our project tried to address this problem, but they did not keep in mind the human safety element. So when we conceived our project, we took into account the population, the environment, the business, and sustainability. And that's the reason why we've been able to get our project permitted, keeping the neighborhoods, the populations away from such an industrial plant by picking up a very good site and having it away from populated areas. We endeavor to go carbon neutral, so we will plant as many trees as possible so that the amount of CO2 emissions that we give out would be consumed by the new trees that we plant. We're definitely looking at the sustainability by going into green hydrogen. And as Frank mentioned, that our project will bring down substantially the cost of energy in the region. So I think we have managed to check all the major markers to make this project attractive from a socioeconomic point of view.
Right, great, yeah, it makes sense. Obviously there's a huge need in that area. One thing we always like to ask in these member spotlight interviews is kind of what your value add process is. In this case, what you're really doing is building an energy solution. So I'm guessing a lot of that process is regulation and permits and finding the right location, which have done a lot of that already. Where are you guys in terms of the project process, and what does that roadmap look like in terms of your process now going forward from where you are today?
Right. At present, we just going to start the engineering. Once we complete the detailed engineering of the project, we will be ready to start construction. We've already completed the design and the technical validation. So now we just need to go into the engineering of the project. So we're pretty much in the last mile.
Great, yeah, that's exciting. And if somebody is looking at a energy investment like this, whether it's LNG exporting or importing, or green hydrogen, what would be a smart due diligence question or an area for that investor to look into? Because I often find that, you know, the investor knows a lot less than what you guys know as a team. So what would you suggest they look at as an investor that's most important?
I think they should definitely look at the region, the industrial bases of the region, because they are going to be the big customers. So that addresses the customer point of view. They should look at the disassociated aspect of this region from other sources of energy. So this is a region that cannot be supplied energy from the Argentinian terminals or from the two LNG terminals, which are in the north of Chile. So this is an isolated, gas-ready, plug-and-play market which just needs to be supplied with natural gas. So that also addresses the demand point of view and the fact that it is a gas-ready region that can consume gas from the get-go. And definitely, I think there should be a lot of stress around the fact that we are looking to get these cities off the pollution grid. They are highly polluted cities with people burning wood. There's a lot of wood being burned throughout the winter months. There's a lot of asthmatic problems for the population over there, pulmonary problems for the population over there. I think we will definitely be addressing a lot of the sustainability issues in the long run.
In addition to that, Richard, as Zubin was saying, every fuel and energy source in the region now, and it's a fairly big region, there's 7 million people, it's a what you would call a pocket market if you were talking about India or China, and it is a stranded market, meaning it's cut off. So we have a naturalistic monopoly, and as Zubin pointed out, we have a fully developed gas grid. Billions of dollars have been put into developing the gas grid and the transcontinental pipelines into Argentina. The only thing that they were lacking was dependable supply of gas. So we had a six-year path to being fully permitted. And as Zubin had pointed out, the fact of the matter is that we're a natural monopoly. Why? Because we have the only site that's viable for a terminal like this in all of South Central Chile on the Pacific Rim. This is a 1,700 mile long coastline, and this is the only place where you could actually put a terminal in and get it permitted. Once we achieved full permitting, meaning we have all permits in hand, we have all awards in hand and all concessions in hand that give us the right to build the project and give us the land, I should say water surfacant, it's offshore, but a small piece of land for the connectivity. We have a 50-year concession on that and wide open access to all of the pipelines on both sides. But we also have a compressed natural gas basis and we have a liquid LNG basis. So this area, it may not have a huge population, but it has a huge basis of business. As Zubin said, there's a huge industrial corridor. Two of the largest forestry companies in the world have gigantic activities there with tens of thousands of square miles of forestry plantations. It's the second largest array of salmon farms in the world. They're the largest exporter of apples and cherries to China out of this region. So even though it's not well known internationally, it's actually one of the best business locations in the world for an energy project like this, but also for any project. Why? Chile is probably, and not probably, it's the best business destination in Latin America. Your money and your investment and your person and your property are actually much safer in Chile than in the United States. Fact. The country possesses half of the world's lithium and half of the world's copper, so investors have no concerns about any sovereign currency risk. That's 18 million people holding half the world's lithium, half the world's copper, and significant proven reserves of other precious metals and industrial metals. On the Argentinian side, it's even more robust from a standpoint of minerals, agriculture, opportunity, so on and so forth. What they need is they need natural gas. As Zubin pointed out, they're burning massive amounts of wet pine wood. They are burning bunker fuel. This is, you know, what comes out of the very bottom of a refinery, the worst polluting fuel in the world. They're running massive arrays of heating and power generation on bunker fuel. And there's 1,000 megawatts of highly polluting coal plants in there. What our project does, once we step in, we bring the natural gas in, clean energy bridge. We bring in the natural gas to produce the hydrogen that's going to allow for clean power plants to be built here. So this is an extremely significant project.
Right. Awesome. Great. Yeah, sounds exciting. What is the number one kind of $100,000 piece of advice you could give to people listening here today that would help them with understanding LNG investments and the opportunity there, or maybe something related to green hydrogen opportunities? Is there something that one of you has learned along the way that you'd want to share with investors that are kind of researching these areas?
Well, what we've basically set up here, Richard, is a waterfall project on the clean energy bridge basis, where we start off with a very clean fuel, natural gas, but then through the process of what's called methane reformation, which is taking steam and natural gas, flashing the steam against the natural gas then produces hydrogen. This is sort of like Field of Dreams. Before we're able to backfill all of these volumes with green hydrogen, we have to produce clean hydrogen from natural gas, from the methane. This will allow for the infrastructure development, clean energy plants, meaning the waste to energy that we use, the biomass to energy that we use to produce the green hydrogen. So for anybody interested in investing, great jurisdiction, great starting project, great transitional basis. So for impact investors, the humanitarian basis is incredible, but the next generation, we go from this natural gas basis over to the green hydrogen basis, and it provides them a hard asset investment and a great jurisdiction with a tertiary basis of complete and utter carbon neutrality and the provision of the world's next fuel after the fossil fuel basis begins to be wound down and the hydrogen basis begins to come into preeminence across the world. And we have the financial backing of the country. As I said, they're committed to putting $50 billion into hydrogen infrastructure. And for half of the country and for a big part of Argentina, we're the only way that they're going to have the volumes of natural gas that will allow for this to be accomplished. So we're in a naturalistic monopoly across the board. We're in a very moral position for what we're doing, but we're also in an extremely lucrative position. These are the highest price energy markets in the world, but we're going to be able to take advantage of that delta, yet at the same time provide the indigenous and European populations that this country is has a large indigenous population, a large mixed ancestry population. We're going to provide these folks with a lot of environmental relief, but we're also going to provide them with extreme economic relief because we're not looking to go home with all of the money. We're looking to get our shareholders fat and happy, but also get the folks who sit in our footprint, who we're very well enmeshed with in offset projects, but get them to a position where they're not spending 30% of the family income on energy bills. We can cut that in half. So this is win-win-win for everybody, Richard.
Right. Great. And where can someone learn more if they want to connect with your team and schedule a phone call, or if they see a way to work together with connections they have? What's the best way to get in touch?
If they look at the ribbon running below the screen here, all of the information is prominently displayed. Our website is nice and short, and our phone number. So as you see, it stops occasionally for folks to take note of it. So I think we're pretty well prepared as far as folks being able to get our information there. But the company's name is GNL. Talcahuano SPA. We are domiciled with that company in Chile, but our American holding company is domiciled here, quite obviously to be redundant, in the United States. And for investors, they have that ability to be safely ensconced in the United States with their investment in one of the best offshore business investment opportunities. While being dollar denominated, U.S. tax basis, and it's essentially the best of all worlds for an investor.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate everyone's time here today. I'm happy to keep in touch as you guys grow and complete this project. I mean, my wife is from Brazil, and I've spent time in Buenos Aires, and be exciting to come down. I'm in the region sometime and see the project underway. So appreciate everyone's time here today.
That's great. And thank you so much, Richard. And great seeing you today. And thank you, Zubin. And thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.